Thank you. Welcome to Juno Afternoon, a special Tuesday edition broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan on community-supported KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. You may also join us via our live stream on YouTube at ktoo.org/JPMLive or on KTOO's Instagram and Facebook pages. Today on this special Tuesday, October 7th edition of Juno Afternoon, local singer-songwriter Josh Fortenberry is releasing his second album this Friday, Tidy Memorial, with two special album release parties this weekend. We chat with Josh and hear a couple tunes from the new album. Today is Juno Municipal Election Day. There is one contested seat for assembly and three seats up for school board with four candidates. Plus, there's a few propositions on the ballot, all related to taxes. We chat with KTOO Clarice Larson. Plus, we'll hear a story from KTOO's Jamie Deep about what Juno's youth thinks of this year's election. Music and conversation coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Keishi Bessie Cooley, and the word this week is Keich.
Keich.
That means dog, and here's a sentence. The dog is the man's best friend. Let's hear it again. Gunash Chish Tuchune Lance Twitchell, Goldbelt Heritage Foundation and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Keishi Bessie Cooley is Kokhetan and a child of a young Yedi man. She is from Daislin, Teslin, and grew up spending time in Teslin and around Teslin Lake. She earned a master's degree in Indigenous Languages and Linguistics from Simon Fraser University and interviewed many speakers for the Hashagun language series. She is currently translating projects for the Children of the Taku Society.
Tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
And now live from the red carpet stage right here at Studio 2K at KTOO, Josh Fortenberry.
If I can't be your one and only, then I will be here just for now. Well, I used to get so lonely, you used to plan on leaving town. All I can offer is to tease you, to love you quicks and waste your time, to always ask for your opinion, make sure you're aware of mine. Well, I'm allergic to believing, or I would rise and go to church, so I could ask the congregation, won't you pray to hear what hurts? Oh, I would stand and testify, and I'd be sure to pay my tithing. When I purchased my salvation, I swear to God I'd be all right then. I wouldn't believe things won't get better and wouldn't tell you that nothing matters. I wouldn't sleep with one eye open. I'd hold up my end of the bargain. I will cook and do the laundry, then slip into a deep malaise. Morning's crying in my coffee, evening's laughing in the rain. Though we say we're independent, we need each other all the time. And if I had another life, love, I'd go where no one else could find us. And I'd be patient and you'd be loving, and I wouldn't argue and you'd forgive, and we'd keep sheep in an open pasture, watch the stars lying in the grass, and I would believe things could get better, and I would tell you you're all that matters, and we would sleep with our windows open and hold up our ends of the bargain.
Yeah, that's Josh Fortenberry. You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. With two album release parties coming this weekend, Josh Fortenberry is set to release his sophomore album, Tidy Memorial, this Friday. It's the follow-up to 2024's No Such Thing as Forever. You can catch the shows Friday night, October 10th, at the Crystal Saloon, or on Saturday night, he'll be at the Gold Town. And I'm pretty sure that he won't be alone.
I will not be. I'm very fortunate to have a great band coming with me.
Yeah, he's got some guests, and on Friday night, Taylor Dallas Vidic will be opening for him as well. Josh joins us in the studio to talk about this second album and, of course, share a little music. As you just heard, I believe, I'm going to guess, that was called End of the Bargain.
You nailed it. Yep.
That was really good. I really enjoyed that tune. We'll talk about the rest of the tracks on the album as well. Gwyneth Cheese, for being here today, Josh. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about, let me give one second here. Let me just make sure that I am on the camera as well. There we go. This album, so Tidy Memorial, is there, you know, sometimes people do like concept albums or albums end up with a theme and then that one song becomes like the title track. Is there something about this album that has a theme running through it?
I think so. I didn't set out to make a concept album or anything like that, but when I started looking at all the songs I sort of had in the hamper and figure out which ones fit together, it kind of ended up being this series of, I guess I'd say a series of eulogies. It's kind of like each song tends to mourn something very specific. So when I started to figure out what the story of the album was, that made sense as the title track to me, A Tidy Memorial, which is kind of about trying to write a eulogy and failing for something.
Okay, that's so good. And how long were these? Because I know that your first album, No Such Thing as Forever, came out in March of 2024. So we're about, 18 months from that?
Yeah.
So are some of the songs on this songs that didn't make that cut, or is this stuff you wrote afterwards?
Pretty much everything on here, with the exception of one song I wrote after the last album was done being recorded.
Okay.
One of these tracks, called City Lights, is a song I actually wrote most of it in high school. It's just been sort of kicking around. I've never found a place for it.
Okay.
Decided to record it here.
Here it is. Yeah. Maybe we'll take a listen to that one later. So this all came about because you're like writing constantly.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just curious about that, your songwriting process. Do you start with lyrics? Do you start with the guitar and playing some chords or something? How does it first come to you?
You know, often I write the two parts separately. So I keep like a running journal, and these days in the modern era, a lot of that's the Notes app on my phone. But you know, as lines occur to me, or when I'm thinking about something that's sort of been troubling me, I'll just sort of write these little stanzas and start to collect them in my phone or in my journal. And once I have enough of those, or I see a theme in some of the stanzas I've been writing, I go back and listen to, I usually keep a set of voice memos of for finger picking or chord patterns I've come up with.
Okay.
And see if I can make some of them fit together. But then once in a while I sit down and a whole song comes out all at once, the chords and the lyrics and everything together.
So is it, do you catch like are you just, when you're out and about, like walking around town and like two or three lines will come to you and so you just jot them down?
Oh yeah. I think I look, like a crazy person out there sometimes, because I'll be just singing to myself into my phone, walking down the road or on the trail, just like trying to capture what I just thought of so I don't lose it for later.
Because, I mean, it is that thing where creativity can be elusive, right? Like you can think of it, and then if you don't get it immediately, then later you're like, wait, what was that?
Right.
Line, what was that thing I had come up with? I can't remember anymore.
Yeah, and I've definitely experienced that. I'm sure a lot of artists and writers have, whether they're, you know, novelists or poets or songwriters. And so early on, I learned to just sort of get something down on paper or recorded pretty early on.
Now, does most of it come to you during daylight hours, or do you sometimes wake up and have something that you had maybe dreamed about?
It's rarer for me to think of something right away in the morning. It is common for me to wake up like in the middle of the night, or, you know, as I'm going to bed, all of a sudden I have this sort of fit of inspiration and then I stay up way too late sort of scribbling.
As per how some things happen like that, that's pretty funny. So let's talk about a few of the tracks on this release. And I know you were here a few weeks ago when the last video came out, last single release, because you decided to do like three singles released ahead of the album.
Right.
Why did you decide to do that?
You know, I would say it's not my decision necessarily, but I have a great PR person who's helping me out.
Okay.
And this was her advice, was to put things out a little bit at a time, give it a little space, give journalists a chance to sort of catch up to things, and gives them sort of more lead time to write about the album.
Okay, great. Because we're going to talk a little bit about that, being a Juno-based artist and how it works to sort of get out there. So City Lights was the first one that you released back in, was it July? August, September. I think you did July.
August. Yeah, you're right.
So City Lights came out, and that was a really cool video that you worked on with a local photographer, right?
Yeah, David Russo is his name. His business is called Nomadic Imagery, and he did both of my videos for this album, and he does great stuff. He did a video for me in the last album, too, for a song called Heirlooms.
Okay.
But yeah, he's a great videographer, and it's been really fun working with him.
Heirlooms, man, that track off that first album, that was like primo. So good. I love that song. Is It Me, which you filmed, you did a video for that as well, which you did down at the Whale.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of fun. And then recently in September, you just released Nobody Is Pleased. And that was, you filmed, that was kind of another kind of fun video. We had a couple guests in that one.
Yeah, I had Kennedy Joe and Taylor Vidic were helping me out as playing the part of the muses from Greek mythology, but trying to inspire a very uninspired person.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. So you can check those videos out on YouTube. Nobody Is Pleased, City Lights, and Is It Me? I think you can just Google Josh Fortenberry YouTube. I'm sure they will come up. They're very inventive. It's so cool to be doing that, because like I know that's a big part of it, right? Is it's not just the audio experience, it's the visual as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I've had so much fun making these, because you know, I was the type of kid who wanted to put on plays for all their parents' friends and people watching, but it just turned out I was not a very good actor, so the stage was not meant for me in that capacity. So it's been fun to do this.
Yeah, meant for you this way for sure. So when you think about the track when you're writing it, obviously you're not really thinking about the video necessarily, but then when you get to the idea of creating a video, do you feel like you're expanding on the story that's in the song in some way?
Yeah, I think ideally, at least that's the way I prefer to think about it. I mean, sometimes, you know, it's also good to sort of say, like, what is the videographer here? What do you hear that maybe I don't, to get someone else's take on what does the song mean, or what do you think the song means, and what would be a cool visual representation of it? I definitely try to think in terms of what kind of story can I tell that's at least tangentially related to this.
Tangentially, yeah. Because, I mean, I remember when MTV started, I was a baby, basically a kid. Okay, I wasn't a baby, but I was a kid. there was a lot of concept videos. And then it got to the point where people seemed to just film themselves playing live or something. And then they would just make the video that way. But, you know, like the famous Aha, Take On Me video, which really sort of blew everybody's mind at the time.
Absolutely.
And there's still some creative videos out there, but I really commend you for like putting some creativity into these videos, and they make it fun to watch, and that's kind of fun. So those are three of the tracks on the album. Can we just talk a little bit about The End of the Bargain that you just sang?
Sure.
Yeah. Where'd that one come from?
I think that one is about, and probably an experience a lot of people have had, where, you know, being in a relationship and trying to figure out what exactly you're doing wrong and wanting it to be better, but not really knowing how to make it better. And I think, you know, both people might be trying the same thing and just sort of muddling through and not, you know, it's often hard to tell, like, is it all me? Is it my fault? Is it your fault? Are we not trying? Should we be trying harder? Is there, you know, or is there nothing to try?
Questions I ask myself every day.
The time. Yeah. I mean, I think it's the endless question for anyone who's been in a long relationship, I think.
Yeah.
So it's mostly me just processing what's going on in my life. Why do I feel the way I feel?
I love that. This was a silly question. No, I'm not going to ask that question.
I like silly.
I was just thinking of, there was somebody else who just came out with an album recently.
Oh, right.
A big famous person.
That's right.
And I was like, you just let her have her release date and then you can release.
Yeah, I didn't want to overshadow her.
So. You didn't want to come out on the same day.
Not at
yeah.
All.
Anyway, so then there's a few other songs on here. There's a total of 10 tracks on the album. You're going to play another one for us. Maybe we should do that now, and then we can talk about the rest of the songs on the album as well.
Sure.
Let me reset the audio so you're back on the quote-unquote red carpet stage. And okay, let me go back to here. All right, so what's this one going to be called?
You know, I think I'm going to play Steven.
Steven.
This is the only song on the album that I say is more of a traditional eulogy for someone who actually passed away.
All right, here's Josh Fortenberry from the Red Carpet Stage here at KTOO.
Getting a little bit in tune just because I like you.
Surrounded by the terrace in town, police shot a young man down. He and his dog had hung around and slept nearby on the ground. When non-lethal rounds and yelling didn't calm him down, did they tell him officers would take his life if he wouldn't drop that knife? Well, living outside must be rough, and officers don't do enough to protect and serve everyone, or get scared without shooting guns. Is that life? Is that it? Something you can take away and say he deserved it. Say, officer, that it. Lost his mom when he was young. Life's not fair to everyone, and many folks aren't graced with luck. He moved north and he got stuck. Worked odd jobs for a living, but living here is sure expensive. Couldn't cover basic bills, so lived outside till he got killed. Is that life? Is that it? Something you can take away and say he deserved it. Say, officer, is that it? Officer, is that it?
is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. That is Josh Fortenberry with his song Steven. You're right, that is a definite eulogy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that it's right in the center of the record because I feel like it does, it's a low point, but it's also a song that I felt was important to sort of highlight right in the middle of the record.
Yeah, of course, it has to do with the death of Steven last summer here in Juneau downtown. And I believe, did you put a version of that on your Instagram at one point?
I did. This is one of those songs that came out sort of right away, right after he was shot, and sort of wrote it that evening, I think. And I've made very few edits to it since then, so it's kind of come out in full form. But it was one of those things where, I don't know, it was the only way to process the way I was feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. Is that how some things work? I know you've been over the last year or so putting a few little tidbits here and there on Instagram as you're sort of getting inspired by something, right? And and that is a way to process whatever might be happening, because I know you did it with I think you did some stuff around the election time too, and there were some things there. Is there any of that work on this album?
Not that much. Okay. Most of the songs that I've been just playing in my living room have been ideas that have come at the time. A lot of them aren't even fully finished yet. And but it's been a way. I'm not a person who likes social media, but I've been told by
your powers
that be and others in the music industry that
and Taylor,
least,
I'm sure.
Yeah, that I have to have at least some presence. So
right.
One thing I don't mind doing is playing songs and trying out new material. So that's just sort of the reason my Instagram has been populated with a lot of draft tracks.
That's good. I like that. So now let's talk a little bit about these album release parties. There's two of them. Friday night at the Crystal Saloon. I believe it starts at 7 with Taylor Dallas Vidic opening for you.
That's right.
And then you're going to play at around 8 o'clock or so.
Yeah.
And is this – you did an album release party for your first album. And you did the thing where you played the album basically from beginning to end. Are you doing the same thing?
More or less. I'm going to play the whole album. There'll be some surprise intermission things in there. But I'm going to play the tracks in order with a couple little breaks in the middle.
Okay, I see. Yeah, okay. So, and did you have an I just love the process of putting things together, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so when you do something like, so the title track is called Heavens Above.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that the first track on the album?
So, for me, it was kind of the most attention-grabbing musical intro to any of the songs. And so I had a couple sort of in mind, but that one just sort of jumps at you right away. And so I really liked that as the album opener. And you'll hear there's this sort of like soaring pedal steel riff that comes in right at the top of the song. So it introduces the sound of the new record, which is quite different than the last one, because it's got drums and electric piano and pedal steel guitar.
So you're expanding the sound a little bit on this record?
On this one, yeah, playing around with some different sounds that I also enjoy.
Okay. And we should mention that Saturday night, so there's not just one album release party, there's two. So on Saturday night, you can go see Josh at the Gold Town, which I believe that also starts around 8 o'clock?
That one starts at 7:30.
7:30. Yeah. Okay, so that's at 7:30 at the Gold Town. Both of those are available. You can go to Josh Fortenberry. That's one R in Barry, joshfortenberry.com. There's links there to the different ticketing outlets for, I think they're both on Eventbrite, but they're two different separate events with different prices. You can see all that on the website. Choose which venue you want, because the Crystal's a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger sound, a little bit louder of a place, I guess, and the Gold Town's a little more intimate. Do you plan to do something different on each night, or are they basically going to be the same kind of show?
There'll be similar shows that I think will feel very different, because one is sort of going to feel more like you're at a cocktail bar. There's some seating at the Crystal, so it's not going to be totally packed in. Taylor's playing a jazz set at the start of the night, so it's going to feel a little bit more of like you're at a cocktail bar.
Yeah.
And then the Gold Town is just such a nice, intimate, cozy place to play, and it's rare to have concerts there. So I'm very appreciative that Colette's letting me take a Saturday night over from the theater to put on some music. But I love playing in there. So I was just really excited to do a show there.
And if somebody doesn't like the song, they can throw some popcorn at
100%,
you.
100%. Yeah. You're very close to the stage.
That's going to be really fun. Now you have, are you going to be filming any of these like you did last time?
Yeah, we're going to film some of the Saturday night show.
Okay.
So it's just, I think, it'll be a little bit easier with the lighting in there potentially.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we're going to film some of the Saturday night show. So if you don't want to be on camera, you can let us know. It's fine.
Yeah, that's totally makes sense. You have to sign a release, right? Or sit at the couches. Yeah. That's the thing to do. Okay, so, and then you have some special guests on the different nights. Are you gonna, you said you have a really good backing band.
Yeah, so I'm going to have the same band both nights, but I put together a pretty fun band. So Clay Good's going to play drums, and I have Sam Roberts on upright bass. Andrew Heist will be playing mandolin, fiddle, and guitar. He's switching around quite a bit, as he does.
As he do.
Lindsey Clark on fiddle. Taylor and Kennedy both singing harmonies. And then Ben Higdon playing pedal steel. So
awesome.
Pretty big band.
What a band.
Yeah, it'll be pretty fun.
That's going to be awesome. Now, we talked a little bit before about this. You have a publicist, right? Is that publicist, where are they located?
They are now located in Juneau. So,
oh, interesting.
They were... agreed to do PR for me for my first record. And at the time, they were based in New York City. And then they came to Folkfest last year. And they're like, I've been waiting to get out of New York City. I've had enough of it there. And they moved to Juneau.
Wow.
And so now she lives in Juneau.
That's a crazy story. I love that. It's a thing where they come visit and then they're just, they're enraptured.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so cool. And so do you have like some tour planned around the state, or are you looking to maybe get outside of Alaska? What's the plan?
Yeah, so I'm looking at in the beginning stages of planning a few different mini tours sort of next year. So this fall is pretty tied up with just doing the album releases, and I still have some shows with my other bands, but planning to get out of the state, going to New Orleans for Folk Alliance with the other Muskeg folks in January, which is sort of a big music conference, and we're going to put on some showcases there. And then planning, hopefully, to do some shows in the sort of Mountain West in March, April. And then there's Folk Fest. And then next summer or fall, I'm looking at a couple of options to do a longer extended tour on the West Coast.
West Coast, wow. And we have had some folks here in town who've done that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So that you can, you've obviously got people to draw on to talk about those experiences. And but it feels like the second album is moving towards getting you further out into the space. I know you've been international already. You've had some articles written about you. And what was it, the German Rolling Stone?
Yeah.
Something like that, and all that kind of stuff, which is really great. But it's so cool to have a Juneau-based artist doing that and then kind of expanding out, but then bringing it back home.
Yeah, and it's, I'm still trying to figure out what this all looks like. You know, the economics of touring are not great, and they're even worse when you live in Juneau. You can't drive anywhere.
Right.
So, you know, I'm trying to figure out how much do I just enjoy doing the recording process, playing shows around the state, doing these odd one-offs outside the state, or how much do I want to build a real, like, full tour outside of Alaska?
I love it. Do you want to do one more live, or are we good?
Sure, I could do one more.
I'd love to have another one. Why not? Because we also, there's, like, let's see, there's Heaven Above, there's Groundhog, Poppy's Waltz, and Tidy Memorial and Wanderlust, which all sound like fantastic tunes. Let me get you back on the stage microphone. There we go. All right, so what are we going to hear now?
I'm going to do Groundhog just because
that sounds fun.
I don't play that live very much.
All right, that's good. Okay, this is Josh Fortenberry from the Red Carpet Stage here at KTO on Juneau Afternoon.
I could argue with a statue, still think I won. And I've been holding back a promise and holding at a gun. I've been lying to my parents about how much I run. But that is not the worst thing I've done. Family is a contract no one ever signed. And I think love is eyes wide open, true hate is blind. And I've been hiding from my friends, but none of them are prying. I never learned to take a hit, but I'm trying. Watch another movie, about living the same day over and over, about some trouble getting sober, about trading places with another, about some enemy turned lover, about the realities of war, or learning what we're fighting for. I'm not dreaming anymore. I'm not dreaming anymore. I'm too scared to play it cool. You can smell it on my breath. And I rarely write a song that doesn't mention death. Think my choices have no meaning, yet I'm filled with regret. And in light of all of this, I'm surprised you haven't left.
Josh Fortenberry here on Juno Afternoon. You can catch the album release parties for Tidy Memorial. Those are happening Friday night at the Crystal Saloon. It starts at 7 o'clock. You can find more information at Josh Fortenberry, Barry with one R, Barry.com, joshfortenberry.com. Or you can also catch Saturday night at the Gold Town. Both of those are on his website, linking basically to Eventbrite. So you can also just go to Eventbrite and search for Josh Fortenberry, and you'll find those albums. Josh, thanks so much for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we're going to go out and listen to one more song. We're going to listen to City Lights, which was the first single released way back in July of this year. So thank you so much, Josh. Good to see you for being here.
Thank you.
Days go by so quickly now, and soon they'll all be gone, one by one. Still I have said nothing, and I'm growing afraid. Away. Now the city lights don't shine nearly so bright. I wish a door blow would blind me. The winter wind is chilling among the vacant buildings. I suppose I'll sorry, but it's hard for you to tell if I won't get well. Wake up feeling guilty. I keep pushing through the shame. Same. city light gonna shine nearly so bright. I wish a dog love would blind me. The winter wind is chilling among the vacant buildings. I suppose I'll never leave. I suppose
support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com.
Support comes from Forno Rosso, a mobile supplier of Neapolitan-style pizza in Juno, house-made dough with gluten-free and dairy-free options. Frozen pizzas available at Rainbow Foods, Juno Greens, and Salt and Soil. Information at fornorossoalaska.com.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. You can also join us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. It's October 7th, which is Election Day here in the city and borough of Juno. One contested seat for the assembly, two people running unopposed, plus some school board seats, and three highly impactful tax-related ballot measures. I am joined in studio now by KTO City reporter Clarice Larson. Gunath Chi, Shai Gudi, thank you so much, Clarice, for coming in on this busy reporting day. I appreciate it.
Oh, of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So let's give just a reset of an overview of, like, what's at stake today.
Right. So obviously you mentioned the assembly members and the school board candidates, but there's also three tax-related ballot measures that are pretty critical and could have a huge impact on the city's finances, but also personal finances, like for people like you and me.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got Proposition 1, which seeks to cap the rate the city uses to determine how much residents pay in property taxes each year.
Okay.
To give some context, city officials estimate that, you know, Joe Schmo, who owns a $500,000 home, would save about $80 if that passes. But on the flip side, the city would lose about $1 million a year in revenue. Mm. So there's kind of a you know, balance which one you want on that end.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to move on to the next
one.
Yeah,
the next one.
Proposition 2 would exempt essential food and residential utilities from local sales taxes. So if you go to Costco and you get, like, some strawberries, you're going to get taxed about 5% on that. And that can add up, you know, every time you go to the grocery store. This would take that away. And so you'd be paying zero on that.
Oh.
And so that's already kind of exempt for seniors in town, but this would be everyone regardless of their income, which is pretty significant. But the I guess something with that, though, is that the city takes in about $9 to $12 million annually from residential food and utilities tax, the money that they tax people. And so by taking that away, it's going to put a pretty big hole in the city's budget. And that's Proposition 3, which is trying to offset that hole in the budget by implementing a new seasonal sales tax, you know, so essentially raising the taxes in the summer to, you know, take in the revenue from the cruise ship passengers and then lower it in the winter.
Okay, so let me go back just so I understand.
Yes, that's
right?
A lot of information.
It's, just because I'm going after work, so I'm
right.
Going to vote after work.
That's
so I
good.
Need to understand what's going on here, as do a lot of folks. So the first one, it seems like that mostly affects property owners.
Exactly.
Because it's the mill rate, which is what they set. And the things I've seen for and against that are that they usually, like, this would cap it so that the assembly wouldn't have an opportunity to raise it or lower it. But they've done both before.
Exactly.
So they are sort of monitoring that. But this is like... So how do, and I'm just curious, like, how do these measures get on the ballot? Are these citizens who have petitions signed to
mm-hmm.
make this happen?
Yeah, so 1 and 2 were put on the ballot by a group of residents called the Affordable Juneau Coalition. They gathered, I want to say, 2,700 signatures each to get these two on the ballot.
I see.
And then the third one was put on the ballot by the Juneau Assembly to kind of be like a an answering call to Proposition 2, if you will.
I see. So sort of the yeah, I guess, because maybe if both pass, that would be sort of strange, right? Can both pass?
One, two, and three?
Yeah, I mean, can two and three both pass?
Anything goes. One can pass, another could fail. They're okay. All individual.
They're all
the
individual.
The issue,
okay.
though, is that let's say two passes and three fails. That means the city would have a $12 million hole in their budget with no mechanism to recoup that funding. So that could mean cut in services, you know, like essentially the city needs to recoup that funding somehow in their budget. And so they could resort to cutting services.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
And then so number two, so it was put on by the Affordable Juneau Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
And that one, again, was to exempt essential food and residential utilities from local sales tax. So that's like, how do they decide what is essential food?
It's under the, like, SNAP or food stamps
regulations. Okay.
So, you know, like, I honestly don't know what is what, but it's...
Are my Hostess Ho-Hos essential food? They are to me.
I sure hope they are, but I honestly could not
tell you. I don't know.
But,
Yeah. So, and then residential utilities would be our electricity bills, mm-hmm. things like that, which they do add taxes on to that.
Yes, and in doing some research and, like, talking with the city finance director, it's estimated that, like, the average person would save roughly, this is rough in estimates, $300 a year based off of, you know, taking this exemption, you know, exempting.
Interesting.
Stuff.
Okay. Now, I have seen some folks, mostly online. I don't know if there's an official thing, but I know there's like this Affordable Juneau Coalition. But then I've also seen some folks who are putting out stuff on Facebook on the opposite side. It's like, no, tax me, please. Right?
Yeah. I mean, there is kind of people on both ends of things. There hasn't been a huge... Not that I've seen a voice in opposition of the Affordable Juneau Coalition. If we're looking at like APOC, which is like people filing for like campaign stuff, that's what
right.
I look for.
Okay.
Anyways, yeah, there's people on both ends of things.
Yeah, I'm just seeing the rumors or the postings on the Facebook.
Totally,
you know?
Yeah.
So it's interesting because that is, like you said, between a $9 to $12 million gap that would potentially put into. Not in the hands of the assembly. And then the seasonal sales tax, just so I understand it, that would be applied to everyone though. That wouldn't be like, we wouldn't be exempt because we show our Juneau ID or anything.
Yeah. It's like technically illegal to do like, I mean, I would have to get into the logistics of it, but you can't just say, oh, you're a tourist, I'm going to tax you.
I see.
There's like some clause in the Constitution, yada, yada.
Okay.
But anyways, everyone would get taxed. And so the idea is, okay, if you're a resident, like think hard and just like make sure you do all your spending in the winter time so that you're not, you know, getting taxed 7.5% in the summertime. So like trying to be cognizant almost.
Is that what it would go up to is 7.5?
Yep. So it'd be 3% in the winter months.
Okay.
And then it would go up to 7.5% in the summer. And that's kind of to take advantage of the cruise ship passengers that come to town.
Right.
And it would bring in extra revenue to the city, or theoretically it would.
I see.
And we're not the only town. I mean, there's all across Southeast Alaska, there's a lot of towns that have this implemented or are actively trying to implement it in their local elections.
Did I see, because you did a great video. If you want more information than we're able to give you here on Juneau Afternoon, you can go to KTO's YouTube page. There's a wonderful story and a video that Clarice did sort of breaking down all of these ballot measures in further detail. So if you haven't gone to the voting box yet, you can catch that. I just wanted to sort of have her kind of give me the overview here because it really gets detailed and complicated and
it's extremely complicated.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're just going, I even like just read the raw ballot, you know, if you read the ballot itself, it's really confusing. And we even have a story coming up where we have students read the ballot and it kind of goes into detail about how almost unreadable the ballot is because it's written in such a, you know, way to make it legal, what have you. And so it's really important to make sure you know what you're getting into ahead of an election. And that's, you know, by reading.
Which side do you want to go on?
Yeah. And so that's kind of by reading you know, I've spent so many hours staring at numbers, banging my head against the wall. What does this mean? To try to make this as digestible as it can be, but I know that I did not do my. I mean, I tried my best, but it's hard.
Well, I think last municipal election, I had not done my homework well enough, and I actually pulled up the KTO election guide in the booth while I was voting because I was like, oh yeah, what does this one mean? Because I needed it put out in a little bit more plain language for, you know, someone like myself. So anyway, okay. So, and then what did you, sometimes you all go out and you talk to people coming out of the voting. Did you do that today?
I did. We all did. The whole news team did, which was super awesome. And I actually just put a story out where, like, I'm talking like 10 minutes ago, right before I came in here, we just published a story. We talked to a ton of residents and everyone is on different sides. I don't think we talked to two people who had the same viewpoint. It was pretty remarkable.
Interesting. So so it might be close.
Yeah, this is like, you know, I've covered multiple elections in Juneau, and I remember last year I could count, I could say how people are going to vote and in the split, like if it was 50-50 or 60-40, and I got it right, and I was pretty proud of that. This year I actually have no clue. Like, I have no clue how people are going to vote on these tax measures because they're so complicated. I don't know if people, how much people are engaging with the information that we're putting out. And then there's also, you know, opposing sides that are putting out information. So it's really one of those things where I have no idea what I'm going to read tonight.
And if you want some help, there's really, like we said, there's one contested assembly seat between Nano Brooks and Wade Bryson. And you can go on the kto.org/elections website. You can see their answers to all the questions that the team asked them here at KTO News. And you can kind of get a sense of where they're lying on each side of these issues. So you maybe can align your votes to whatever you're voting on these propositions. Because it seems like with the school board, there's four candidates with three seats. And there's, right?
Yeah, that's right. But there's also a write-in candidate.
Oh, there's a write-in candidate.
You know, Dee Dee Sorensen is also bidding to do a write-in. So that's going to be interesting to see how many people write her in, you know, versus the people that will be on the ballot.
Technically, so there's five candidates for three seats, right? If you count the write-in candidate. Okay,
yeah.
That's interesting. And Dee Dee was on the board before.
She is on the board.
She is on the board still. Okay, wow. That's so interesting. Because originally she was not going to run.
Yeah, she was going to, I think, retire, which, you know, props to her. And but it's also cool to see her do another round potentially. So.
Okay, well, that'll be interesting to see how that all turns out. And there's two other assembly races, but there's nobody running against those folks.
Yes, that is Deputy Mayor Greg Smith and then Ella Atkinson. She's actually running for her first full term. She's recently, her term right now is a partial term.
Okay, right. Okay. But they're both running unopposed. You don't have any choice there.
Yeah. Or, I mean, you could, I mean, you could vote, you could write
you could
in a candidate.
Vote. You could write in somebody.
I think you could.
And there is some, you have to, but the write-in candidates still have to technically be registered, right?
Yeah, I think so. So actually, it might
you
be a
you can't just write in like Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. And I know some people have written in some obscure things that are not humans. So
it's just not wanting to vote necessarily, but wanting to have your voice heard in a different way. But they're not going to calculate those or probably even publish those.
I don't think so, no.
Okay, so that's cool. And then you mentioned before there was this really cool story that our education reporter, Jamie Deep, did. And before we play that story, I did want to ask you, Clary, so what can we expect? I mean, in years past, we used to have coverage at night and because they always would put out the stuff immediately, but that doesn't happen so much anymore.
No, now that it's by mail, it's a little bit different.
Okay.
And so this year I talked to a clerk, a deputy clerk yesterday, crossing my fingers that it would be like not 1 a.m. that they drop the data, but it's looking like it's gonna be
1 a.m.
At least past midnight. So I'll be awake, and I hope that others aren't. But election results hopefully will come between midnight and 3 a.m. for my sake.
So those initial results, and
preliminary,
then we wait about 2 weeks or so, right?
October 21st is the day that they will be certified. But we'll be getting, you know,
updates
here and there. And then I also want to mention that the election official or preliminary results that will drop tonight don't include people who put their ballots in today. Everything prior to election day.
Oh, okay. So even if I go to the booth after work and go vote, it won't be counted tonight necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's just something to keep in mind, that they could change pretty drastically over the next couple of weeks. So,
but if you are up late tonight, are you going to push a story out later tonight? Or are you going to do
Oh, yeah. I'll be up at like whatever time, 1 a.m.
Whatever time. Okay, and then that's the Intrepid News team right there.
That's right.
Staying up late, doing the work. And but if maybe you'll see it, we'll see it in the morning, at least those initial results. So then this story that that Jamie did, can you tell me a little bit about what we're going to hear?
Yeah, Jamie did a super duper awesome story. I was so excited about it. It's essentially they went into a school classroom that was doing, a government classroom that was doing, I guess, a mock election on the election that we did. And it was super interesting to see how the students voted and hopefully to soon compare it to how the rest of Juneau voted.
That's so interesting. So we're going to take a listen to that now. Clarice, thank you so much for coming in and giving us a little bit of your time. I know you got to stay up, but hopefully you can go take a little nap or something before you're on the night shift.
Oh, it's, you know, it's the best day of the year. It's like Christmas for me.
I'm not sure I believe that. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTO. Here is Jamie Deep's story on the students and how they feel about this year's election and who they would vote for if they did have a vote. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO.
Yokosuke Dakahiti High School teacher Electra Gardinier tallies up votes from a recent mock election in her fourth period government class. She spent the week explaining the different candidates and propositions. Now the students, most of whom are too young to vote, are casting their votes on sample ballots.
So you have a ballot in front of you, and it looks like what I have in my hand.
Gardinier tallies up the votes in the school board race after class.
For the last candidate, it looks like we would not be able to come to a consensus. Oh, no. Jeremy JJJ. So JJJ, Steve Whitney, and Jenny Thomas.
Students also approved all three ballot propositions in this year's election. Gardinier says students that attend Yokosuke do so because they have been unsuccessful in some part of their education. She says that makes it really important for her to give her students a voice in this class.
Sometimes that can mean that we have a population that already feels marginalized academically, let alone how they're feeling in other aspects of their life. And so a lot of times what I fear that creates kind of this like apathetic mentality of like, nothing ever gets better for me. It doesn't matter how I think. Nobody cares what my views are.
Gardinier says she wants students to feel engaged and heard while also understanding what they are voting on.
When I'm teaching, I try not to put anything above a sixth grade level. And it's fascinating to me that a ballot is absolutely written at a level beyond that. So, I mean, I have kids who are not going to understand what they're voting for, and that is something that I'm trying to combat.
How did government students' votes stack up over at Juneau Douglas High School, Yada'at Kathleh? 80 students voted in that mock election. They elected Jenny Thomas, Melissa Colum, and Steve Whitney to the school board. For the Juneau Assembly, Nano Brooks eked out a narrow victory over Wade Bryson by one vote in the only contested race. As for the ballot propositions, the students approved the first two questions, but narrowly voted down the proposed seasonal sales tax. At least one student at JD will actually be able to vote this year. Samuel Lagerquist filled out his ballot ahead of Election Day. He says the structure of the class helped him to learn more about the different candidates and ballot propositions. He says he also learned about how his peers are thinking.
In this class, I was kind of presented with some different perspectives that I didn't really think about, mainly concerning the first two ballot measures. It also offered a really good place to like kind of stay updated and motivated me to stay updated into the actual news.
Lagerquist says he feels it's important to vote in a local election, even when statewide and national elections often see larger turnouts.
The sales tax or ballot initiatives ones are going to have a more like day-to-day actual real effect on me. And so I think that honestly, it's probably more important than like your national elections, even though, you know, those are really important.
While he doesn't plan to be in the state for college, Lagerquist says he plans on voting absentee in next year's Alaska election, when the governor and two congressional seats will be up for grabs. Amy Lloyd teaches government at Juneau Douglas High School. She says the results for the mock election were a bit unexpected.
I thought it was going to be 70-30 and it was more like 50-50, which shows me that they understand the value of their vote. And even if they didn't say anything in the conversation, they voted how they wanted to vote. So that was pretty cool.
She says it's a big responsibility to teach students about the government.
We are living in America. We've got to understand the government. It's really exciting to teach a class that is so obviously in their best interest to know and learn and pay attention to.
Real ballots in Juneau's by-mail election must be returned by 8 p.m. Tuesday. Initial results are expected that night. In Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
And you can follow all the election coverage on KTOO at kto.org/elections. What a fun story that was to hear what the youth of America would be voting for. Make your voice count, get out there, and vote. That's going to do it for today's Juneau Afternoon. Local stories, local events, local connection made possible by you via your donation and membership at ktoo.org. Gwyneth Cheesh for that. On tomorrow's show, Pulitzer Prize-winning graphic novelist Tessa Holz will be here. Plus, Juneau Audubon Fall Talks are back. We are Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m., unless we're doing a special Tuesday show like today, right here on KTO 104.3 and KAUK Juneau Ogbe 91.7. You can find the show online at ktoo.org/JuneauAfternoon. You can also find live stream archives on KTOO's YouTube page. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Programming support for Juneau Afternoon comes from listeners and viewers like you, Hanson Gress, Alaska Airlines Club 49, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. And we'll go out today with a little more Josh Fortenberry. Have a good evening, everybody.
Nobody is playing, letting clear things. I've been talking a lot. Nobody agrees. You're all planting seeds, and I'm cutting down trees. Nobody. Much as the dear, I should call my mom, stop drinking and beer. I should get out of the house, I should get out of my head. Take care.